Welcome everybody to another episode of the Fearless Mums Club podcast. I'm Christine Drummond and I have a cracker of a guest with us today. She is a mentor and an inspiration in my life, and she is so passionate about helping people grow from both a personal level but also a professional level, especially in the direct selling and the network marketing realm, which is a profession that I am aligned with as well. And I actually get to work with this lady every day. So I love that. And they often say that you're the average of the five people that you get to hang around a lot. So I'm glad that this woman is in one of my circles that I get to hang around. But she's a mama as well. You're going to love her accent. She is from another country, which she will share with you, but she has been living here for a very long time. And I know at least one of her children I've met. And she is a cracker, just like her mum as well. So, Celine Egan, welcome to our Fearless Mums Club podcast. Can you share with everybody who you are, where you're from, what do you do? Like, lay it on us.
Well, thank you, first of all, for having me. I'm thrilled to be here. And if I can share any wisdom from my 55 years, I'm only too happy to, because everything I do share is definitely from experience, I can tell you. So the accent, I'll leave you guessing for a second, but I did leave where I was born, travel the world from the time I was 22 with my then boyfriend, now husband, and forgot to go home. So I was originally born and bred in Dublin, Ireland. My accent is very mixed up though. People kind of pick me for all different things. And I think that's because I've traveled so much as well. And also too, if I'm around my Irish friends and then I kind of, you know, start talking to the Aussies, they can say to me, can you slow down? I get a little bit excited. I am married to the gorgeous Mick. We have been together for 38 years this year. 32 years married. We've been together since we were in school, and he's amazing. I just feel incredibly blessed that he was placed in my life, and yeah, just so blessed. And then we were also blessed with three beautiful children. I also have an angel in heaven. Our first one went to heaven early, and that, but then blessed with three beautiful children, Cara, Shane, and Daniel. Plus, of course, the three that we've managed to kind of find along the way, because you know we've got Steve and Brooke and Lauren that I can't forget about now too, because of course we've got all of these beautiful in-laws that have joined our families. So I just feel incredibly blessed that we've got a family that is forever growing, and no pressure, but I'm looking forward to grandkids now too.
Oh, I love that, because you can give them back, can't you?
You totally.
I've got a couple of kids here if you want to practice before.
That often happens, actually. I end up here, have a few.
Yeah. You touched on something that's really close to my heart as well. And you said that you do have an angel in heaven, that, you know, your first one. And I think this is a topic that it's quite taboo. A lot of people, we don't talk about it a lot. Yeah. Like I've had miscarriages in the past as well. And it wasn't until I went through it and started to talk about it that other people were like, yeah, that happened to me. That happened to me. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I love you. Like, it's such an emotional roller coaster, isn't it? Can you just take us through a little bit of that journey? Like, was it something that you had planned, or, you know?
It was you think it's taboo now. Well, go back 30 years. Okay. And it was so taboo then as well. No one ever talked about it. And so when it happened for me, I was totally unprepared, because there just was never those conversations. I think the journey that we often expect is that, you know, whatever order you want to do it in. But for me growing up, it was kind of thing, you know, find the love of my life, you know, get married, you know, get a house, have children, and so on. And it was all just laid out, and you just expected it was going to happen very easily, that everything was going to happen all right. And we did. Look, at the time when I fell pregnant with our first beautiful angel, we were building our first home, and we were kind of getting all of those kinds of things ready and all the rest. We'd been back to Ireland, we'd gotten married, come back, and all the rest, and so we were ready for that next progression. And so when it actually happened, I remember distinctly, because I was cleaning out, we were getting ready to be moving, and I was cleaning out the oven of the house that we had been renting. And so there's a number of things then that kind of come up for you. You go guilt, because was I doing too much? What did I do wrong? All of these things that kind of present themselves that came out of left field. And you just like that. I thought I knew no one who'd had a miscarriage up till that point. And then as soon as I was going through it and kind of the aftermath and whatever like that, all of these people saying, oh, yes, no, I did. I'm thinking, why is it such a secret? I mean, it actually turned out that it's actually a very normal occurrence. And, you know, I have a very strong faith, so I believe everything happens for reasons, and I know that I've got that beautiful angel there. But I also know, too, that, like, you know, if that little baby would have been due to be born on the 6th of April. And so when you look at it, though, I look now and I go, okay, if that baby had decided to stay on Earth instead of go to heaven, then I wouldn't have Kara. So I always look that there is a reason, but going through it at the time was very difficult. So I would encourage any of our, you know, your listeners kind of thing. I think if you've got something that's going on for you, no matter what it is, whether it is miscarriage, whether it is difficulties being a mom, you think you're not getting it right or whatever like that, ask for help and have conversations, because so many of us have walked that journey before, and wisdom, you know, there's such a power in wisdom of ages. Doesn't mean you have to take everything on. And I kind of, you know, when I was thinking about talking to all of you today, I was actually thinking about that. Sometimes you can get a lot of wisdom and you kind of go, what am I going to pick up? But yeah, I think know that anything you're going through, someone's walked that journey before. So don't be afraid to ask for help. I think it's really important.
That's amazing. And I didn't realize how similar our stories are. So when I, in a previous life, I was, had another relationship, and we actually fell pregnant. We were trying to fall pregnant before we got married and do all those kind of things. And then when we did fall pregnant, I was like, oh my gosh, my mum's very strong Catholic faith. Yeah. And my dad was an atheist. So, you know, we were kind of stuck in the middle of this. However, I was like, oh my gosh, she's going to kill me, you know. So as soon as we found out, we got engaged. Yeah. And we were living in Queensland at the time, and all my family was back in regional New South Wales. So I'm like, we're going to have to move home so we can raise this baby around family. And it was the week that we were moving, I was doing the same thing, packing boxes, cleaning ovens, you know, doing all that. Yeah. And all those similar feelings went through my head. Oh my gosh, was I doing too much? And it is such an emotional thing. And I've had a couple of my close friends this week go through that experience, and just being able to, I suppose, offer that hope that there's better days, and give them the strength and the courage that, you know, this is such a common thing, you're not alone, and being able to share your experience to you know, show that you can come out the other side, and there is always a reason, you know, why it happens. And, yeah. You know, I ended up going on to marry that person, and we ended up breaking up, but we tried for 7 years to have kids, did the whole IVF and everything, and just couldn't fall pregnant again after that, that one time. And I look back and think, you know, there was a reason for that. And I'm so grateful that we didn't,
yeah,
you know, at the time. So, we've gone really deep, really early.
Yes, I know. That's just us.
So we're going to have to lighten it up a bit now, but I'm going to ask you first, what's the worst thing you've ever done as a mum? And we've had so many different answers to this question. So we've had mums that have dropped babies. We've had mums that have said, you know, I didn't do self-love. And I'm really interested to see your take on the worst thing that you've done as a mum.
Oh, look, you know, I was kind of contemplating this, and I'm thinking, where do I start? Like, I actually literally celebrated with each one as I got them through to 18, going, thank God they're still alive. Like, I mean, seriously, that was a thing. That was really a thing. I remember myself and Mick high-fiving, going, yes, we got them to 18. Yeah. And they are still alive. So there were so many things. I have done the whole drop the baby thing. I remember us, Mick actually, were in the line in the supermarket, and he swinging the capsule. It was the old kind of capsule there, where they really only just had the thing around their belly in those days, and that, not the whole strap thing in. And next thing, he's going like this in the shop. I was going, oh my gosh. And that, but I also remember too, Shane, God bless him, he walked around with a bruise on his forehead for probably about 2 years because his mother did not realize he needed glasses. And then when he did get glasses, I got him like the whole Harry Potter looking thing, which was not actually cool back then. It was not cool. And I look back over some of the photos now and he says, what were you thinking? And the other things too, like when I remember distinctly actually one time when I actually thought I should have been a hairdresser. And so I actually sat the kids down and gave them all haircuts. Oh my gosh. My friend who is a hairdresser just said to them, if she ever goes near your head with a scissors again, phone the police. Thankfully, the hair grew reasonably quickly, but in the meantime, they had bowl cuts. It was, again, so honestly, there were so many things, but I am here to tell you they survived. They survived, and they are so, again, no matter what you do, honestly, seriously, it will come through, and you will have stories to be able to laugh about, you know.
Yeah, totally. You've just raised really self-conscious kids, but apart from that, they're alive.
Years of therapy, but that's okay. It's totally all right.
Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah, I had a list log as well, just like you. But okay, so what do you love most about being a mama?
Oh, gosh. I think one of the biggest things that I actually, when I was really contemplating this, is just the capacity to love. The realization that, you know, that your ability to love is just limitless. You know, you have that first child put into your hands and kind of thing, and you just look and you kind of go, I could never love anything else. Like, this is it. Like, this is the whole thing. And, you know, and I remember distinctly being pregnant with Shane, thinking, I don't know. I mean, how am I going to love this child? Because, like, I mean, you know, I'd already, Kara's there. Like, all my love surely has gone into that bucket. That's it, kind of thing. And then, you know, if you're blessed with another child, or you choose to go that direction, kind of thing, this next child is handed to you, and it's just like your heart just expands. And so that, to me, I suppose, has been the thing that has been the greatest gift, because I realized then, of course, and we added Daniel in there as well. And then as each of our beautiful, kind of, I call them my adopted children, you know, Stephen and Brooke and Lauren, of that have come into our family, your heart just expands and expands more. That's been my greatest gift, because I love fiercely, as my children will tell you, or any of my friends. I'm very loyal, and I do love fiercely and deeply. And so that's what my being a mum taught me, that actually I could have room to love more than just, you know, what I thought was the bubble and that. And so that's the greatest gift. There's been so many. I mean, there is just so many and that. But I think that's been the greatest gift into my life, being a mum.
I love that. And for those that know Celine, she does have an abundance of love. And you leave this woman's presence always feeling better about yourself than when you started the conversation with her. So I absolutely love that, Celine. You are a big love bug, and that's what we love about you. What's been your greatest lesson then, or the greatest piece of advice that you've received that's sort of helped you with your role as a mother?
Yeah, the best bit of advice I ever got actually was from my mum. And you know what? I don't believe that we actually ever appreciate our mums as much as we do, you know, till the day we actually become mums ourselves. And we realize, you know, I'm just so, so grateful to my mum.
That's when the apologizing starts.
Oh, does it ever? But it's also where they kind of go, uh-huh. You know? I remember my mother saying to me one time, kind of thing, you know, because Kara, God bless her, was, you know, not the tidiest of little children. There was always so much going on, kind of thing. And she'd go, uh-huh, it's just payback time. So I love that. But she also gave me the best bit of advice ever. And she basically said, give your children roots and wings. In other words, roots like a tree, so they know where they are, you know, where to come home to. That you know, that they know that there is always going to be that solid, beautiful place for them to come home to. But wings, so that they can really continue to explore and do the things that they need to do. So if that is, you know, move away, if that is try different careers, if that is, you know, some of the things that we will never understand, you know, you still have, no matter what we do or how evolved we think we are, there are certain kind of things that you kind of go, oh yeah, right, okay, you hope your child's going to do this, 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 and all in that order. And then they go this, this, this. And it's like, oh, right, okay. But always just knowing that you just got to give them roots and wings. They will always come back to the values, everything that you instill in them. You can give them that as a gift and then wings to go, you know what, go explore, baby. Just go explore. Just go find out who you are, who you need to be, what you need to do. And it's been a kind of thing that I've come back to all the time, especially when I kind of go, I don't know if they're on the right path. And it's Celine. Come back, roots and wings. They know where to come back to. They know where home is. They know that the heart is here for them, but they need to go and have those wings and explore. So that's been the best bit of advice.
What an incredible piece of advice. I'm madly taking notes around that. What's your mum's name?
My mum's name's Celine as well. Maria Celine, but she goes by Celine, and my sister's Maria. You know, us Irish like to name kids after one another. So my brother's Paul, my father's Paul. His son's Paul, you know, so we keep it really, really easy. But yeah, so Mama Celine is another Mama Celine.
All right. Well, Mama Celine, who's mama of this Celine, thank you for that piece of advice. I think that's going to be gold for so many mums out there. Like at the end of the day, and we've spoken about this on lots of previous podcasts, that we don't own our kids. We can give them the best morals, the best upbringing and everything, but they're going to make their own choices. And it comes back to giving them those wings, that room to explore and the space to really figure out who they are as an individual without you. So I absolutely love that. That's such a really cool motto for mums to live by, roots and wings. I think that's, I'm going to have to put that somewhere. I really like it. Thank you for sharing that. And that's gold. Okay. So have you had, apart from, you know, all the damage you've done to your kids, have you had any embarrassing moments? Or moments where they've been embarrassed by you. I'm sure they've got, they could give me a truckload on you.
Tell you, don't ever go bad interviewing any of them. But anyhow, look, you know, there's so many. For me, I've always been, you know, I'm just a loud and proud mum. I am a loud and proud mum. I will be their biggest cheerleaders until the day they die. You know, they are now, like, Cara's nearly 29, Shane's 27, Dan's 24. You know, they're all, two of them are married, and Dan and Lauren have been together for 5-6 years now as well. So they might be all adults and all the rest, but they're still my babies. And so, you know, embarrassing from the, I was the mum at the, you know, the car at school drop off, or even maybe the school gate where I'm going, love you, miss you, bye. And then walking with the hood up over kind of thing, walking in thinking, is she gone yet? Or whatever. Or then eventually as they go, all their friends would even kind of go, love you, miss you, bye, back to me. That too. Or whether I was on the side of the soccer pitch or the netball court, still being loud and proud and cheering and supporting, and that I just love big. And you know, when it comes to my kids, I can't help it. So there've been so many moments when they've been embarrassed, but I think over the years, they've kind of gotten used to the fact that she's not going anywhere. It doesn't matter what it is. And I would say to all of you, you know, all of you mamas out there, don't be afraid to love big. Don't be afraid to love proud. You know, even if they're embarrassed, they secretly love it. They secretly love it because, you know, you're just showing the world that you are amazing. You are a mama. You are there no matter what. And so I've just kind of, you know, learned that it's okay. It's okay to actually be embarrassing. It's okay to be totally not cool, because I'm not really that cool. Mick's the cool one in this kind of whole relationship. He's the drummer and the, you know, he knows the music and all that kind of stuff. I'm not the cool one. I'm the mama and that. And so, yeah, don't be afraid to be embarrassing.
Well, I love that, because you never, ever want your kids to ever feel unloved. So by loving them hard and loving them big, they can never come back to you later and go, I never felt loved, you know? So I love that you're pouring that on. I think I need to turn mine up a notch to try and match you.
I think you're doing good, girl. I think you're doing good. Just saying.
Arch is such a little love bug. He loves it when I call him a love bug as well. Like, he's the one that constantly tells you that he loves you all throughout the day, and all just at random moments, you know, he'll come out of the blue and give you a kiss. And I just love that. So he's got a massive big love language, like words of affirmation and physical touch. He just loves that kind of stuff. So he is like this juicy little, you know, kissable little love bug, whereas Summer's kind of like, back off, I don't want the physical touch, you don't have to keep telling me you love me, mum. So I think she's going to be a bit like your kids, where I'll be the one going, love you, bye, and she'll be just like, yeah, Go away, Mum.
Secretly, she'll be loving it.
Secretly, she'll be loving it. Yeah, she likes to feel loved.
She's never going to have to guess.
That's right. That's right. Well, it's funny because my dad never said it to me. And and then I met Linda Everton and she drew it out of me like, well, what is it about your dad? Like, and I was like, oh, well, I don't think he's ever told me that he loves me. And then the tears, it opened up this massive big heart space for me. I'm going, oh my gosh, like I was 30 something before I even realized, you know. But now that he's got the Alzheimer's, it's one of the only things that he can communicate. It's unbelievable, Celine. It's like taking our relationship to this whole new level where I can embrace him. We can't converse usually, but if I say, I love you, Dad, while I'm walking out the door of his home, he'll say, love you, or I love you too, or, you know, and he'll string it together and it'll be perfect. So love is such a higher power, and it's an incredible way to communicate with each other. And especially we're going through a crazy time. If you listen to this podcast, years like down the track, we're going through one of the most craziest times that we've seen as humanity, and we're all in isolation, and the physical touch for huggers like us, Celine, it's a bit difficult, isn't it?
I know, it's like these virtual hugs kind of thing, but it is there is no higher power than love, you know. That's the reality. Like, if you can kind of nail that, you've nailed it, people, because really everything, no matter what it is that you're doing, everything, that base level is love. It's just vital. So don't ever be embarrassed. And we went through some of the same kind of growth things. I remember Mick's heart being cracked open at a thing with Mitch and Mills at MJB, and same thing, you know, realizing that he never actually heard the words, I love you, from his mom or dad. They just weren't that type of family kind of thing. And so now he would never hold that back. He will never hold that. He finishes every conversation with it. He makes sure that, and it's just lovely watching that and kind of really, really kind of expand even more. It's special. It really is. It's special.
It really is. And we had a guest speaker on not long ago, Claudette Anderson. And one thing that she said is she tells everybody that she loves them. She never wants to be in that position where she loses somebody before she had the opportunity to tell them. So, you know, even when we're chatting on Messenger, she lives in America, she'll finish the message to me with, I love you, you know, and she just she's another big love bug, you know, like the rest of us. But, you know, I've started to do this as well, and it enriches your relationships, but the main relationship it enriches is the one with yourself. Because for you to give all this love to everybody else, you need to go to that next level of love and appreciation for yourself. And I see so many mums out there struggle with this, Celine, and I know that you do too. Yeah. And I know Mitch and Mills are very good at pulling this out of people and getting them to open up this heart space and, you know, really coming from that place of gratitude. So I love that you brought all that up. And I think a lot of mums out there, if you are listening to this and you're feeling depressed or you're feeling anxious or you're feeling like you're failing as a mom, then I really want you to go within. I really want you to start pulling out the things that you absolutely love and adore about yourself. And I did this exercise with someone that was going through this and she couldn't think of any. And I had tears just streaming down my face thinking, oh my gosh, this poor woman can't even like find one thing about herself right now that she absolutely loves. So I know that it's hard. But the more that you do it, the more that you celebrate. And what Mitch teaches us is that we can't just love all the good bits of ourselves, because otherwise, if we do that, we're just loving half a person. So he's really great at getting women and men to really understand that there are bits about us that we don't like. There might be, you know, things like racism and a cheating side and, you know, a psycho, and, you know, I can definitely be a crazy bitch.
Like, on my list is so long on both sides.
But he does it in a way where you kind of feel okay about it, because you're like, wow, that's just the part of me that I'm not owning. But when you do own it, it's relief. You just feel this relief. You're like, oh, I don't have to hide this bit of me anymore. I can just be me. And it's so refreshing when you can do that. But you probably see this as well, Celine. People do.
It's amazing
all the time.
I do an exercise, like in my former life, as in one of my former businesses, as a coach. I'd be speaking at different events and that. And there was an exercise that I do, and I don't know if I've actually ever done it when you've been in the room, Christine. But it's the who am I exercise, and you literally just sit with your kind of your opposite another person, and you're kind of you're just basically your knees are touching, you're just looking at one another, and you know, you ask I would be asking you, you know, who are you? And you would say, I am, whatever, you know. And so, and the other person can't make any comment, can't contribute anything. All they do is literally just keep asking, who are you? Who are you? Who are you? And it breaks my heart every single time, you know, when I watch, because oftentimes it is women. We will reply, you know, I am a mum. I am a wife. I am, you know, my job. You know, it's all about the job and all the rest kind of thing. And there's silence for so long because people can't get to, there are the things and the titles that they are, but they've not got to the essence of who they are. And it's, you know, there's always tears, there's always. The first time that I actually learned that exercise was when I was studying under Jack Canfield in the States. We did it for, I think, the best part of 2 hours, the first sitting, where we literally just sat there doing it. So there was a lot of silence, but there was a lot of digging till you get to that space of who you really are at your core. So, you know, for your listeners, take the time to bless yourself with, you know, doing an exercise of that type, whatever it might be. And that, you know, make all of the lists, love yourself completely, because it is a huge opportunity to grow. It really is. It's very, very powerful. It's an amazing gift to yourself. So, yeah.
I love that you brought that exercise up, because I did that before I had done any sort of self-development ever. And it was so confronting. And people, it's like that person across you is seen into your soul, and you're trying to hide all of the shit bits. And you're like, I hope they don't see. I hope they can't read my mind. It is really, really confronting, but you're right. It peels back the layers, and so many people out there are so fearful of judgment and criticism and what people are going to think of them, but they don't even know who they are themselves, you know? Yeah. So I really encourage our listeners, go and do that exercise and really figure out, who are you? What do you stand for? What are your values? What's important to you? What is it that you actually want in life? You know, I remember Linda and I, we did a tour in regional New South Wales a couple of years ago, and we did about 4 or 5 women's events. And I think we were in front of, you know, about 50, 60 women. And at every event, we asked them, you know, what's your dream? What are you working towards? What do you want? Not one person could tell us.
Yeah.
Not one person. They were caught up in the monotony of life. We had one girl go, well, I'm getting married next year. And I'm like, that's great. But what else? Like, what are you excited about? What's coming? You know, and I think that's what we see. So many people are just caught up. They're lazy thinkers. They're not thinking about these empowering questions that are, you know, really going to take them to that next level of consciousness and have a better quality of life. And, you know, we are taught it is the quality of your questions which will determine the quality of your life. So that's such a powerful exercise, and I love that you brought that up. And you can do it in the mirror, girls. You don't have to do it with another person.
Exactly.
Go and stare at yourself. And so many women can't even do that. They find that, you know, really hard to do.
That was another learning. And that exactly that same, I spent 3 years going back and forth to study under Jack. And that was another thing that we had to do every single night, was the mirror exercise. And it's so hilarious because you're just looking at yourself, but you're here. Everywhere, you're looking everywhere, left, right, up, down kind of thing, rather than looking yourself in the mirror and actually really telling yourself how amazing you are and that you love you and all the rest kind of thing. So yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, love it. I love that you brought that exercise up. It's so powerful. All right, so moving on, do you have a philosophy around motherhood, or do you have any traditions? I know you'd have traditions in your house. I mean, you're Irish, they're big on traditions. So what sort of philosophy or traditions do you have in your family?
Well, I think one of the things for us that's important around parenting is knowing that it actually shouldn't all be easy, you know, and for our children, not making life easy and simple, because we believe that diamonds are made through challenge, you know, that it's really important for people to actually have the opportunity to be able to grow as well through adversity. And that doesn't mean, like, you know, that we don't do anything for our kids or anything like that. But it is about kind of not always wanting to just jump in and rescue. There's an opportunity for people to actually be able to grow. And we also believe too, as parents, that there are certain boundaries that need to be respected. And it's hard because there's a fine line of balance between being a parent and being the friend. And, you know, our beliefs are that it's really important to be a parent first. Because if we think about it, the parent kind of, you know, for us, we look at it as the parent is the protector, the challenger, the cheerer, the safety officer, the nurse, the counselor, the, you know, little or not so little voice of reason, the kick of the pants, the shoulders to cry on. And, you know, if we're not prepared to step up into that being a parent, and I see, especially a lot of young mums who have this challenge between, oh, but I want to be their best friend. And you know what? You can't always. There are going to be the times when, you know, the decision you need to make in the best interest of your child is a decision that, you know, the friend might not make, but the parent, the protector and all that will make. So we look at that. Our family values are very much around contribution and experiences. That's what we're about. We've never really kind of been into things, but we're definitely into experiences and contributions. So it's really important for us that our words and actions match what, you know, how we want to show up in the world. And so we've kind of instilled that in the kids too, as they've been growing up. It's really important for us. It's always been, we're proactive as a family. If we want to complain or whinge about something, we come with a solution. And that's no matter what that is. And so hence the reason why we've always been involved in whether it's the soccer club, the netball club, the whatever. And it's the same with the kids now too. They've always been about that giving back in some way. Because, you know, the good book says, you know, when much is given, much is expected. And we feel that as a family, we've been incredibly blessed. And so there's a higher expectation that we then contribute onward as well. And so as a family, we look at what that is. And, you know, we have questions oftentimes as a family around how can we live out the purpose that we've been given? Like, because I believe that every one of us is here for a reason. So there is a purpose that has been placed on our heart by God. Then how do we find that and how do we live that out? So it's that kind of journey. So contribution and service is just vital. It's just what we want to do. And as the kids have been setting up their own families, we're just watching them actually do that themselves as well, that those values are kind of carrying forward. And then experiences for us, it's about travel. It's about, you know, doing fun things. It's about, you know, just having fun, but getting out and just experiencing what this beautiful world has to give us. And the other, I think, gift that, you know, and it's nearly like a tradition, is around personal development. You know, it's been an important part of my journey and now Mick's journey. And we're seeing that also showing up with the kids. The greatest gift that you can give to yourself is that journey of personal development, because it will create a tradition in your kids, because they will do what they see you do, not what you tell them to do oftentimes. And so ours has been, we definitely have had a just a philosophy and tradition about always looking at how can you be improving yourself, how can you be growing, and that, and then fun and laughter. I mean, you know, that's important. We've got, you know, we definitely have the clown in the family, and we definitely have, you know, the one who's a little bit more serious and all the rest kind of thing, and they all like to monkey one another around and stir one another up around that. But yeah, just be that. Show up how you want to parent. I mean, this is how I choose to parent. I'm not saying that that's what you need to do. But I do see sometimes younger mums struggling with that, you know, I need to be the parent protector and the boundaries, but oh, I really want to be their best friend. So, you know, and it, just know that you've got to allow them the challenges, because that's what who will make them the people that they need to be to face the world that they need to face. And that, so it's that whole duality thing. It's the good and the bad, the hard and the easy, and all those kinds of things.
Yeah, I love that. And I love how you just said you got to show up how you want to show up. And so often in parenting, people love to shove their own beliefs onto you. So, you know, I had a conversation with one of my friends today who has a toddler, and she said, look, I'm going through the terrible twos, and I'm going and this and this. And I was like, hang on a second. Is that your belief or is that society's belief? Because people tried to push that on me with my kids. And I was like, no, I don't have terrible twos. We never had tantrums during the twos, all the threes, you know, and I didn't want to take that belief on. And it's the same with the teenage years. People keep saying, Christine, you were such a crazy teenager. And so was my partner, Tom. And I'm like, yeah, but that doesn't mean our kids are going to, you know, push the boundaries like we did, you know, it doesn't.
I used to get asked that all the time. You know, people say to me, oh, you know, what was it like going through the teenage years and all the rest kind of thing? It was a breeze. It was beautiful. Mm-hmm. Was the challenges? Of course there were. Were there all that other stuff? No, because again, where you have boundaries, where you have expectations, where you kind of, you know, really show up and keep the lines of communication open and all the rest kind of thing. It's like that saying, like, you know, we get treated how we allow ourselves to be treated as well. And that, and so, you know, there are certain things. Now, you know, don't get me wrong, I also have beautiful friends who have children who have challenges. And so just be who you need to be for your children and again, I love what you just said, Christine. It's about the expectations. Is that society's expectations? Don't, just because you hear it often enough doesn't mean that it's the truth. It's, you know, doesn't mean that it's the norm, and that, you know, decide how you want to show up and how you want your family to show up.
Yeah. And I absolutely love that. And it comes down to as well, if you're having an issue or a challenge with your child, rather than keep running over and over what's wrong about it. Like, there was a time where Archer would constantly get out of bed like 6 to 10 times a night. He was like, and all we kept focusing on what he was doing rather than that solution and going, well, how do we want this to look? How do we want this to be? And it was a process of, it was over 2 hours of getting him to bed, and it was stressful for everybody. But then when I was like, okay, what's his love language and what does he need in that moment when we put him to bed? His love language is physical touch, and he loves words of affirmation. So if you just sit there with him for 5 minutes, pat his back, give him a kiss on the cheek, tell him you love him, you know, and all these beautiful things, he drifts off in 5 minutes. Mm. So, you know, we just changed the vision and we came up with a solution rather than focusing on the problem all the time. And I think we often get caught up in, you know, this kid is behaving like this or they're acting like this. Visualize how you actually want it to be and then go to work on that, you know. And I think the love languages was so helpful for us in raising our kids. And I'm so glad that I read that book so early on, you know, because that leads into my next question, Celine, which is, you know, knowing everything you know now, if you were to go back and tell your younger mum self, you know, some advice, what would you tell her?
Well, I would actually, the first thing I'd say is breathe. You know, they actually survive all of your stuff ups. Okay. So just breathe. There is no, you know, the perfection is the perfection. It's the perfection is all of the stuff ups, the imperfections, the things that you learn along the way and whatever like that. I think that's the thing. Trust your intuition about your child. Okay. And let kind of all the advice wash over you. And pick up only what is right for you and your child. There will be people that will be want to be giving advice from all sides. Exactly. Even like, you know, from what I have, you know, shared today. Pick up only what is going to best serve you. I think that's the most important thing. Because I learned all that the hard way. You know, and this is the thing, like, I mean, you know, hindsight's a fantastic thing. Like, as I said, they survived. They're still alive and they're in their 20s now and getting married themselves and that. But, you know, going through it in the early stages, I was just lost. My mum was on the other side of the world and it was just trying to learn. And there was all this advice and I'd be trying to pick it all up and think that I was wrong, making myself wrong with every bit of advice that came. I was making myself wrong. Just know, breathe through it. Just know that they will survive and only pick up what you know. Your intuition will tell you. If you listen to that inner voice of power and knowledge inside you, that inner voice of love, you will not make a mess of this. Honestly, you will not make a mess of this. Just pick up, then you'll know, okay, that is actually going to suit this issue here, kind of thing. So yeah, breathe.
Yep. Breathe, mamas, breathe.
Yeah.
I just know you're not going to be going through this phase. It's not going to last for long. You know, no. as the kids and as you move through the different rites of passage, it changes and it, you know, and just make it fun and breathe. Don't stress the small stuff. Don't sweat the small stuff, as they say. Awesome. What is one thing that you feel you've nailed as a mum?
I think for me, the thing that I've nailed is actually surrounding them with other awesome people and communities that have added so much to their upbringing. It's one of the things that's actually been really, really important. I think, you know, at the beginning, I thought I had to have all the answers. And then I realized I don't need to have all of the answers. I just need to be able to surround our kids with others who will kind of be able to sow into them the values and the strengths that we know will serve them, that we don't need to, you know, and that was, I think that was a really huge aha for me. And so I've been blessed to be able to surround our children with amazing communities, our direct selling communities, our church communities, our sports communities, putting them, you know, where you know that the values align with what it is that how you want to show up as a family. And it also gives them other people that they can go to when they need advice, and they might not just want to come to mum. There might be some things that they, and this is especially important to me raising a daughter who is quite strong-willed. We're quite similar kind of thing. And so, you know, we love one another, but we can also butt heads. And so it was really important to put other beautiful women in her life that she could actually go to for advice or to talk something through with. And it didn't have to be me. And she didn't have to suffer alone either. So you just know that we're not always going to be the answer. And that's actually okay. Get over yourself. It's actually okay. I love how older traditions, it was a tribe raised a child. And that is still what happens in some, you know, parts of our world. That's actually really important. It's an important thing to know that it was actually about a number of people. So I think the skill or strength of just learning to know that it's actually okay to let go, surround them with beautiful people so that there's always someone there that's going to be able to pick them up when you can't. I think that's the gift. Yeah.
I love that. And that community of positive influences is so important. And yeah, I totally love what you've just shared there. Amazing. All right, last question. Here we go. What are your top three best mum hacks or tips that you can give to our listeners? What have you got?
Okay, well, number one, I actually mentioned it a little bit earlier on, but be a student of personal development, because it's actually an amazing gift to your children, okay? They pick up what we show them and how we show up, not what we say, you know? So don't tell them to go do something if you're not prepared to do it yourself. But being, you know, they learn by osmosis. And I see it now, like, you know, if my son yesterday on Facebook, you know, he shared a Tony Robbins, Jim Rohn thing. Like, I mean, they were listening to all of that stuff in the car without even knowing, pretending they weren't, and then asking a question, what does he mean by the birds got them, mum? You know, whatever like that. And so, you know, the greatest gift that you can give to A, yourself, because you grow as a person, but B, to your kids, is actually, you know, being that student of personal development. So you're gifting yourself and you're gifting them at the same time.
Just before you move on, Celine, like I didn't know anything about personal development or this self-improvement world when I first became a mum. Where would someone start? Where, like, is there someone like Brené Brown, someone like that? Yeah. Where could someone start if they've never picked up a personal development book or never heard this term before, or, you know, where do they start on this self-evolution, self-growth process?
You know, we're so blessed in today's environment, like, you know, for what's available to us all, really. I mean, when I started out, it was books, okay? And, you know, whatever it might be. Like my daughter we were just talking about, she's just finished a Brené Brown book, actually, Daring Leader.
Daring Greatly?
No, the latest one, Leader. The leader one anyhow, I can't even remember, Daring Leadership or something like that anyhow. But, you know, Brené is actually a great easy read if somebody did want to go. And I love her because she's just a no-nonsense Texan. You know, I really get her. And she loves to speak about it. But there are podcasts, there are, you know, even listening to this, you're growing, you're exposing yourself to personal development. And that books, for me, are a favorite. I mean, I just have books everywhere. And that I love reading books because I like to go back and mark things. So I like to be able to highlight, I like to be able to unload. Audible, you know, you can now get so many different books on, you know, Audible. At free, you can go to the website and Google, you know, top inspiring talks. And literally you can just have them playing in the background and that too. So for me, you know, I don't watch the news much. I've probably watched the news more in this season of what we're all going through, more to stay up to date from a business perspective of what's going on. But other than that, for me, there's either worship music playing or there's a podcast of some kind playing or a CD. So, you know, just think about it. You will be intuitively led to what it is that you need to pick up. Okay. So what's good for me or what's good for Christine might not be where you start. And that too. So look at what's easy. Listen to a few different, you know, podcasts or videos on YouTube and start to see what resonates with you and then go. But, you know, as from a woman leadership kind of thing, just to start off with, I love Brené Brown's books. I think there's some just beautiful, beautiful gifts inside of those, and they're easy reads as well, and that too. But just start somewhere, and that, and continue just to add to that library of knowledge as well. Just let it wash over you, because you will be surprised what you pick up by osmosis and what your kids. And I would advise you that where you can, have it on so that whether you think they're listening or not, your kids get to hear it. So in the car, when I would be driving around, it was a 4 CD player. And so 3 of the CDs were mine and 1 were the kids. So we would have to go through them all to get to theirs. So it was playing all of the time, and they'd pretend to even, you know, they even had earphones in sometimes, listen to their iPods or whatever like that. But they were picking it all up, because as they grew, I would hear them using some of the language from the different CDs that we listened to when they were either coaching their little teams themselves or whatever. And this is, I'm talking about from the ages of 16, 17, 18 up, they were already using the language that had been sewn into them from what we thought they weren't listening to. So do for some of whatever you're doing, have it so that your whole family can actually be exposed to it.
I love that. All right, I cut you off. What's number and three?
Number two is get help. Okay, so if that's a cleaner, a gardener, laundry, meal service, whatever it is that's going to get you through this season of parenthood. I at the beginning, I tried to be it all, do it all, and it was like, hello, you don't have to be superwoman, but I gave myself adrenaline fatigue twice before I actually realized that part, just saying. Okay, so, and if you can't afford it, find out a way to afford it. So for me, it was in my direct sales business, you know, the cleaner. Okay, what did I need to do? I needed to have this much sales each month to be able to, over and above anything else, that was paying for my cleaner. So I earned my cleaner. Then I earned the gardener. Then I earned the fact that I could bring stuff to the laundry. Do you know what I mean? So everybody can. So always remember, as soon as you find yourself going, I can't afford, go, aha, alrighty. How could I afford that? What is it that I could do? What have I got control over that I actually could do it? So gift yourself that help, okay? You do not have to be all of it. There's a beautiful little poem. I was trying to find it actually to be able to share with you guys, but I couldn't find the exact words. But basically at the end of the day, it was about the handprints, the little handprints on the walls or on the whatever, you know, and we get angry about them. We want to clean them away. And just remembering that one day those handprints won't be there, as in the little hands will have grown up, I know, into big ones. So I must try and find, if I do find the actual little poem, I will share it with you. But a friend, when my kids were little and I was going through all of this guilt around not being the perfect housewife and all the rest kind of thing, and mother, and having my house perfect. Our house has never been perfect, I can tell you that right now. And I was going through all the guilt around it, and she gave that to me, and I went, oh my gosh, it's so true. So get help if you need help. And you know what? Our house was always clean underneath, never tidy on top. Football boots, netball boots, soccer balls, you name it kind of thing. It's okay. So give yourself a break. So you don't have to be superwoman. And the third one is practice self-care. Now, this is another one I learned the hard way, okay? And not early, to be really honest. It took me a while to actually learn this one. I would feel guilt about it if I, you know, booked in to go for a massage or a walk on my own or whatever it was. I would have terrible guilt about it. And I actually, through my personal development journey, I learned that whole thing about it, that if I didn't fill my cup first, I would have nothing to give to those beautiful children. We all hear about it, you know, when you're on the airplane, your oxygen mask first before you help others. I mean, there are so many reminders to us, and yet I must have been a slow learner in this one, because it just took so long to actually hit home. But when it did, it was the greatest gift that I could give to my family, and that is looking after. It's essential. I saw it as a weakness in, you know, having to, oh, you've got to take some time out for yourself kind of thing, and whatever like that. I taught very, very fluffy and whatnot, and realize it is so important. So if you can, you know, if you can find that way now to look at what that looks like, it could be half hour coffee catch up with a girlfriend, kid free, once a week as a start. If that was the only way in which you started, if it is that you get to be able to have a hot bath undisturbed because your partner's going to look after the kids once a week, whatever it is that is a start for you. Okay. Because we know, you know, sometimes we see all of this stuff and we kind of go, I have to do that every single day and in on top of this and top of that. No, you don't. What you need to do is start though. So start on your personal development journey. You know, just listen to a little video today, whatever it might be. This is a brilliant way that you've already started with listening to this podcast. And that choose one other thing that you might do over the next few days. Take your diary out now and schedule in a time when you're just going to go and have, when we can get out of the house again, or even do a virtual coffee catch up with a girlfriend, or, you know, book in some time to have a bath, whatever it might be. But choose this week that you're going to do one 30-minute section that's for you, and then build on that so that it becomes more habitual. And I'll be honest, some days I'm really good at this and some days I'm crap and that. But if I have a number of days where I'm not doing this, I know, and everyone else around me knows. So it's really, really important. Find out what fills your bucket and then make sure that you're doing that, gift that to yourself, and you'll be a better mum for it.
Oh, I love that, Celine. Three gold nuggets right there. And it's so true. You do have to fill your cup first. And I get a bit like you as well. If I haven't, if I've missed exercise for more than sort of 3 days, Tom will go, I think you better get outside for a run. Because you stop feeling like yourself when you fall out of that routine of really loving yourself first. And, you know, in order to be that better mum, to be that better wife, to be that better employee or businesswoman or whatever it is, you do have to self-nurture, self-nourish first. And I love that. And I must say, Celine, I've met your husband, Mick. He is an incredible man. You guys give so much to so many charities. I see the way that you both, like the standard that you set for yourselves, for your family unit. And it's just so inspiring and encouraging and provides so much hope for the rest of us that, you know, you can instill, you know, these amazing morals and values and, you know, create a space for your kids to grow and flourish. And, you know, it is hard raising independent, empowered women. I've got a little 8-year-old. That is basically turning 28. Yeah. and sometimes it bites us in the butt. But you're so right. And I love the rawness and the realness and just the way that you show up every single day for others. You do have that servant heart. And, you know, I always feel like if I rang you at 3 a.m. in the morning, you would absolutely pick up the phone and, you know, be there to help. And I know a lot of other people feel the same. So I hope it never comes to that. I have to ring you at 3 a.m. I don't know what a cranky Irish is like at 3 a.m.
It's all good. It's all good.
But I want to really take a moment to recognize you and congratulate you for, you know, just for the way that you show up, not just only for yourself, but for your family. And, you know, you were one of the first people that said to me about, you know, really not just nurturing the relationship with yourself and nurturing the relationship with your kids, but you have to nurture the relationship with your partner. They can't be left behind. And, you know, Mitch is big on this. He's like, you know, if you make it all about the kids, you're actually cheating on your husband with your kids. Mm. And you were introduced like date night for us and made that, you know, become a routine and a ritual. And I've been seeing it all over Facebook, people having date nights in, and it's been so amazing to watch. And I know that you and Mick do, you know, similar things as well. So I just want to really thank you for the impact that you've had on my life. And it's had that ripple effect, not just for my family, but I use a lot of your verbiage and your wisdom with people that I speak to. So the impact that you're having out there is absolutely incredible. And I'm so grateful to have you in my life and for being on this podcast today. So before I start crying, just picturing those little handprints on the window going, oh my gosh, they are going to be gone soon.
I know.
But thank you, my friend. You are so gorgeous. How can people find you? Where can they find you if they're like, oh my God, this woman is amazing, I need to know where she is? Where can people find you?
Yeah, sure. Look, I hang out on Facebook and Instagram. You can find my pages doing Life and Business with Celine. And that's, you can do that, or Celine Egan. You know, just search me on there. Happy to connect any of those ways as well. So yeah, but thank you, darling. I love doing life with you. You're just, as I've shared with you before, you are such an inspiration. And I love how you show up, because you are just you, you're real. And I just love how you do that. And you go through with such enthusiasm and excitement. And it's, I don't know, it's, you're just a breath of fresh air. And you're, you know, when the days when it's not working out, you're real about that too. And so a blessing to us all. Really love it.
Thank you, Dallin. I'll slip you some money a bit later.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Saying all those nice things. Awesome. Thank you so much. And look her up, listeners. Like, honestly, you want this lady in your life, and follow her. Follow her success and the way that she lives. And I'm sure it will help inspire you to up your game and really hold yourself to a higher level. So thank you so much, Celine.
Thank you.